and welcome to the Women's Rugby Pod, episode 179. The Six Nations is here. This is the first of three pods this week. We've got all the captains to bring you tomorrow on the second pod. On the third pod, we'll drop that late to go through once the teams have been announced with Berner, Sarah Byrne. But today, it's the coaches' corner. The coaches for the official launch last week. We hear from Italy, France, the Red Roses, old coach Scott Beaman, now the head coach of Ireland, and Ian Cunningham of Wales. Sadly, no John Mitchell. But first, to Scotland and Brian Easton. Oh, and you must excuse some of the audio quality. It was an extremely noisy event. Here's Brian. Brian Easton's here, Scotland head coach. Brian, lovely to see you. How's your day been so far? Long.
Yeah, interesting.
Filming, photos.
Filming. I nearly said fun, but not.
And the slightly different launch this year. There's an evening event. Are you going to stick around for it?
No, unfortunately, no. I've got to get back.
Got to get back.
Yeah, I can't quite do the influencer bit.
Oh, it's a shame because I was looking forward to seeing your shapes on the dance floor. But look, let's get into it. What's the mood like?
Excitement. Yeah, it's always good. I think the noise levels always tell you there's excitement. And that's the one thing I've noticed with this group is that they are close. They want to get back. They want to get back in the environment. And that's really exciting for them. And there's always trepidation going into Six Nations because although we've been on a good run, you know, six games in the bounce for the first time since 2001, we understand that we're playing against the best teams in the world in the Six Nations. So we know where we want to get to. We know how we want to perform. But, you know, saying that's a different thing, isn't it?
It's an incredibly settled group. I know when you announced the squad, we spoke about it on the pod, and we talked about the settled nature of it. And it, out of possibly all the squad, it seems like a real family. And you've got some Rachel Malcolm in the middle of it all, bringing everyone in. What challenges does that possess then as a coach, trying to move the group on and a new signpost for inspiration, the way you're doing things? How difficult a job is it for you with such a settled group?
We try and shake things up a little bit. Like last year, and I suppose it was accident rather than design last year. We were missing a lot of senior players last year through Bonner, Wassel, Maxwell, you know, Sevens players. But we had some youngsters coming through, Emma Orr, Evie Gallagher, Eliane Clark, Fran McGee. So although it's a settled squad, there are still some youngsters coming through and pushing. Celtic Challenge was good for us this year. Alex Stewart, Merrin Gunderson, Kieran Bell. You know, I think I maybe named 8 or 9 that, albeit it's a, you know, settled group, good senior group, there are youngsters pushing them as well. So that makes my job a little bit easier because those players now are looking over their shoulder for the first time. Professionalism is, although it's a really good thing for players, they're now looking over their shoulders and going, God, there's some good kids coming through. They're playing some good rugby. And for us, that's a great thing. So, yeah, they're together. They're a good family group. But they also see that there are players trying to come into that family as well, which is great.
I don't have much of a social life. I spend my evenings choosing a Scotland backline and things like that. That's what it's like in deepest, darkest Hampshire. But I was trying to pick your backline. You've got proper selection headaches now. How nice is that? It may not have always been the case with you in charge. How nice is that now to go, jeez, who on earth are we going to pick in this backline?
Brilliant. I mean, you're bang on, I think. The back division is exciting and they're playing some really good rugby. And I think when you look at players like, you know, Helen Nelson playing at 15 for Loughborough, Merrill Smith playing at 15 for Bristol, playing at 12 for Bristol, Nelly playing at 10 for Loughborough. You've got, you know, Beth Blacklock playing some good rugby at Saracens. You've got Kareen Grant, you know, so you've got players who are playing really good rugby week in and week out. It also means you can pick a team depending on who you're playing against as well. So you can look at styles of play, you can look at, you know, strategy, you can look at tactically as well. So it's a really exciting time. You know, we've got, you know, I mentioned Kieran Bell earlier on, you know, a young winger who's going tries for fun for Edinburgh, but she's in a position now that we've potentially got 6, 7, 8 back three players that could be ahead of her, and that's exciting and that's really good. And, you know, some good ball players as well, you know, so we're not, it's now no longer right, what 7 are available, they're playing, it's now a selection, it's a selection headache, but I'd rather have that headache than not.
How nice is it? And we've seen crowds at the Hive go through the roof, even on
bitterly cold days. The Celtic Challenge, you spoke about the players, that's on earth. But the support levels and that kind of stuff, how nice is it being on the sort of crest of a wave? And you've been around a reasonable amount of time. Did I see on LinkedIn 20 years at the SRU?
Longer.
25?
24 now.
24.
24 now.
But anyway, back to this crest of the wave.
Yeah, look, I think that's on the back of good victories and good performances. So the group that you've talked about, the consistency of that group, it's because they're out there. They're really good. They're really good in the media. They're really trying to grow their brand. But the main thing is they're performing. So there's some good victories coming in, and people are coming to watch us now. Looks like France is going to be a record crowd. Then that will be beaten by England crowd. So we're looking at two sellouts potentially at the high this year, which, you know, for Scottish women's rugby, if you look back 2-3 years, that's massive. Celtic Challenge, I went to, you know, watch the Edinburgh games at the Hive. I've been at Scotland to watch the Glasgow games, you know, four-figure crowds to watch club games. That's exciting, and I think that's because of the performances, the brand of rugby that they're playing as well, but also some good people. You know, people like Rachel, you've talked about, you know, the youngsters coming through. They're accessible, they're exciting to watch, and it's really good to see. It's exciting to see. Being 24 years at Scottish rugby, that means I'm only 26, though.
Yeah, you and me both. We'll finish up with Wales away, first round. That's a great fixture. You had some proper ding-dongs down the years. How exciting is the group and yourself about that one?
Yeah, it's a really good fixture. Your ding-dong's a good description. It's you look back the last 4 or 5 years, it's come down to 78, 79, 80 minutes, you know, 80-plus minutes at World Cup. Last, you know, 2 years ago in Cardiff, it was we knocked on over the line last play of the game. Wales beat us last play of the game last year to get a bonus point. That's how tight it is, and the players now know each other pretty well. You know, we've got players at Gloucester, Bristol, who, you know, Scotland, the Welsh players, they know each other inside out, and it will be tight again. I've got absolutely no doubt. And in terms of prediction wise, you could predict it's going to be a tight affair. But it's always an exciting game. There's always a lot of points, it'll come down to the odd error, it'll come down to a little bit of magic. And that's the exciting thing about this Guinness Six Nations, is there's some good teams now, some good individuals in there, and yeah, it's exciting times ahead.
Italy up next, and their head coach, Giovanni Ranieri. Talk to me about the excitement ahead of this Six Nations.
Yeah, we are very, very excited to start the Six Nations, and specifically to start with the England team. We know we will start with the strongest team in the world, so it's a challenge in the challenge to start with England, but it will be an opportunity for the players to measure their level with the best. So maybe with Sam Gill will be the first match with England, and we will see.
Talk to us about some of the players that we should be looking out for Italy, who you think are going to impress, who you're looking forward to seeing play.
To be honest with you, we are looking for the group. With our strength is to play all together, and is the nice rugby, but we don't have specifically players. We want build our rugby all together with the team.
Okay, so yeah, a team environment, but you do have some superstars.
Beatrice Rigoni, but also to Sara Tonesi is playing.
Tonesi, Turani in the English Premiership.
Yes.
So there's some real experience there. What can we expect to see from Italy in this Six Nations?
Yes, with these girls that they moved in to play in Premiership. Also, Sara Seye is playing in Healing. We are very interesting to watch their improvement, because they are playing, you know, in a fantastic tournament with the Premiership. So we want to see how they growing and what they can bring to Italy.
We've just seen over the weekend a brilliant performance from the men's team, and a sold out Rome Stadium. Does that reverberate through the entire union into the women's team, and and just how eager is everybody to get going against England?
Yes, I hope so. I hope we can get that excitement that is all over Italy. We are a little family in Italy about rugby. So from the south to the north, everybody is happy about this win with Scottish in Rome, and the stadium was finally full, and we hope that can bring to the women team some energy that we deserve to play with England with some energy.
You have caused England some problems down the years. I remember commentating in Italy and England struggled certainly the first 40 minutes. It's a tough ask in the first fixture, but the tournament as a whole, what would be successful for you?
I would like to see an improvement about our team match after match. We won't see the girls that improved individually and also with the group, and to continue the improvement that we started in South Africa with the women 15, and we won't see just our improvement generally everywhere.
Ben Cunningham here, the world's coach, head coach, director of rugby, Grand Fromage.
Head coach.
Leave it at that, yeah. Grand Fromage. Lovely to see you. Thanks very much for joining us on the Women's Rugby Pod. How is everyone?
Yeah, everyone's excited. Looking forward to the start. Everyone's healthy at the moment, which is good. So, got a big week coming up and a big challenge with Scotland next Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Celtic Challenge, I wanted to talk about that and the depth of squad. Speaking to Ireland today and Italy as well, and talking about the sort of strength and depth. How big a boost has that been, that Celtic Challenge, to unearth a few players that can just sort of prop up and make those senior players look over their shoulders a little bit?
Yeah, it's been excellent for us to expose some of those young players to a higher level of rugby, for us to view them over a six-week period. Going away from home, going to Ireland to play, learning those experiences are great, but also getting that mix as well. Some of our more established players stepping into that environment and playing with those young players so they could pick up from them as well, and it's been great for us.
What can we expect to see from Wales on the part? WXV wasn't, in terms of results, wasn't where you'd suspect you'd like it to be. What can we expect to see on the field from Wales as Six Nations?
Take the learnings from WXV, and we learned a lot. You know, even though the results didn't go away and we were exposed to a high level of rugby, which is exactly what we want. And to understand that when you get opportunities, you have to be clinical. So those will be areas that we're focusing on. Building on our games from last year as well, where our pack has gone well, trying to combine our attacking threat with our back line. But also being smart with the ball and trying to get our discipline much better, because we give away a lot of penalties in WXV, so that's an area we'll be focusing on.
And it's a joy for all of us to see these players coming through and what have you. In the quieter moments when you're penning down your side to start that first game against Scotland, do you sense smart yourself and say, do you know what, this is a real challenge now, and actually two or three years ago it wasn't so much of a challenge?
100%. It is getting harder, which is what we want, you know, as coaches. And a couple of years ago, when I first started working with this team, it was, we've got two players in that position, that's it. If we lose a player, I'm not sure where we go. So it affects how you train, because you don't want to risk injury. But now we've possibly got four players deep in some positions, five players deep. So that depth is excellent for us. And some good players will miss out.
Yeah, and that's the nature of it. Let's drill into those players then. If you haven't seen the Women's Six Nations before, who should we be looking out for? And people may well have seen Jazz Joyce and whatever. So possibly the lesser known names.
Well, Alex Callender is growing a reputation as one of the best loose forwards around. with her blonde hair running around the place and getting stuck in. And so she's one to look out for. Hickey George, the 10. So she's been going really well for Gloucester Harpery in the PWR this year. And you'll see her skill set, her kicking range, her mix of kicks. She's someone exciting to look out for. Potentially a young winger as well called Nell Medcalf, who has come to the fore really recently. We were really lucky to expose her to WXV last year as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, where her first game was against Ruby Tui. So that development she's had in 6 months has been quite raw but accelerated, and she's gone really well for Gloucester Harpery recently, scoring a hat-trick last Friday. So those type of players I keep an eye out for.
And talking about Clarkey, we had a... Hopefully I've said that right. Had her on the pod a couple of months back, and I just said, is it now your chance to take that 10 show? Because Ella's retired and stepped away, and a lot of people have been talking Clarkey up for quite some time. It's time for her to own that number 10 jersey now, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It's her time to keep hold of it for a while. I think she's showing that she's maturing nicely, her confidence in the shirt. And you can see that by the way she orchestrates Gloucester around the field, you know. And that's, we're excited by that. And we're lucky we got someone of Hickey's ability. And we're looking forward to her showing that on the stage this year in Six Nations.
Shanna Wakely, Shanna Powell Hughes, brings a huge amount of energy. Great to see her back. And obviously, Shanna Hadder's retiring. Your selection has been really, really open because you've got these youngsters like the Metcalfs, you've got the more established players, you know, like Kira Bevans and whatever, but then Shona's someone who's gone away from the game, improved and come back. So your selection policy is obviously very, very open to whoever's performing.
100%. You know, we are open and honest to the group and say the door is never closed for you. And if you perform and you're consistent and you put your hand up, you're going to be up for consideration. So, and Shona's a great example of that. You know, she was involved in the squad a few years ago. Hasn't been around for a while, but she's come back in with positive energy. Just really grateful for the opportunity again, and she's a massive addition to us this year.
We love games against Scotland. It's always so tight, and I described them early on as ding dong battles. They really are. There's no better way to start the championship, is it? Scotland.
Yeah. Well, it's. The last few years, it's always been like a one-score game, or we've managed to score, then Scotland score again, and it's been back and forth and down to the wire. And you know, as a coach, I would like it to be a bit more secure. But the two sides are improving. Scotland are improving every year with some threats, with serious threats on the field. So, but it's a great game to start, and we, you know, it's nice to have it in Cardiff.
Just finally, because it has been a long day for you and everyone else, what does success look like on the back end of this 6 weeks?
Exposing new players to the shirt, I think that's important. Just on that, we mentioned we've got three campaigns to the next World Cup, hopefully. So you've only got three opportunities to grow depth and grow exposure of players. Being more clinical when we get opportunities, and maybe claiming the scalp on the top two.
Nice. Ireland head coach Scott Beamond was up next. Absolutely lovely to see you at the Women's Six Nations launch. How's it all going?
If I describe feelings, I'd probably say there's optimism, there's excitement. We know what went on last time. So we know where we're coming from. We know where we're headed. They were a young group last year, and they're still a young group now. But the level of experiences they've got into them, we've seen growth over the last 12 months within players, both on and off pitch. So we know we're trying to build something. The group is a good group. They're going to give it their all. They're open to new ideas. They're pliable. Be fascinating to see us sort of roll our sleeves up really and put the best Irish performance out there.
Out of all the unions, probably the biggest change in the last 12 months, 18 months with Ireland, what are the things you're now beginning to get right that you needed to get right when you took the job?
I think probably the first thing I found is we've just gone and ran a clarity piece. So you've got to understand who you are, what sort of culture you want to represent, on pitch, off pitch. We've made the on pitch piece the centre point of it. People can buy into that. When I talk about Irish performances, you can probably think, you know, the best Irish performances out there, whether it be in the men's game, the women's game, usually come down to some key fundamentals. They want to work hard for each other. And when you see that, and when you see either on the front foot or the back foot, they'll get up and they'll keep working. So they're a really, really strong grafting nation. And we think if we can get that on pitch, we're going to give ourselves an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, victorious WXV was a good tournament for you. Celtic Challenge is coming of late. Is that another big piece of the jigsaw, is to get some real, real strength in depth? And how much has those two tournaments helped you in getting some of that depth?
Well, we'll start with WXV. WXV 3 over in Dubai. As a nation, we want to be... over the next few years, we want to get ourselves to become a World Cup contender. So how quickly that happens. But you've got a North Star. You know where you're trying to head to. WXV coming on the back of last Six Nations was a great opportunity, really, to build a bit of confidence. Confident performance. Get out there. Work out what it's like to enjoy rugby again. Work out what it's like to enjoy winning. Winning can be habitual. So there was a real confidence piece, which I'm... You know, really, really proud, really, at how the girls went about it. And we succeeded in that arena. Six Nations, as you know, is a different beast. From where we were, we'll look at every game and say, every game's going to be a competition. We're comfortable with that. So how we train, how we that, we're comfortable being, getting in there going, right, you know, there'll be some bits where, within games where we win, and there'll be some bits where we'll be under the cosh. And we're going to win those little games, got to win those competitions, and we'll get opportunities to put winning performances out there. So I think the WXV was a big piece of that. The Celtic Challenge on the back of that will become more and more and more important as we go through the years. It's really important to not just rely on the Premiership over in the UK. I think it's really important to get a competition, both... Look, it's done with the Celtic Challenge, it's done with the Scots and the Welsh. And it gives us an opportunity to bring something to each of our own shores. I think that's going to become bigger and bigger quite quickly, I'd have thought. There's been a bunch of performances out there that youngsters have really put their hands up in that competition. Obviously, the Wolfhounds went on and won it, which is great again. But it wasn't easy. Games were competitive. They came down to a score. They had to defend... wins, they had to come back from losing positions to get draws in some cases. So there's been some really, really good stuff out there. I think each of the unions is using it in the right way. So there'll be a couple of girls that get an opportunity through the Six Nations based on performances through Celtic Challenge.
For those who aren't regular watchers of Irish women's rugby, who should we be looking out for? The lesser, you know, not the Sam Monaghans and Eve Higgins and those kind of characters, but some fresher names which you're particularly looking forward to seeing at the Six Nations.
Okay, I'll give you some youngsters. Front row, we've got a young prop coming through, Sive McGrath. Lovely player. Explosive power, got some change of direction, can do the scrummage, can do the line out, do the set piece, which is clearly an important piece for Northern Hemisphere teams. Great character. So over the next Six Nations, over the next couple of years, hopefully going into what will end up being a successful World Cup for Ireland, hopefully she's going to become more and more of a force in a green shirt. Couple of wingers. Couple of really young wingers.
I was going to say, you're picking up props. It's very unlikely you, Scott. I'm glad you got to the back line.
Well,
here.
Head coach now. Head coach.
Yeah, no. Fair enough.
Got to recognise forwards as well. Obviously, coming from the England bit, there's always a bit of importance placed on mauling and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a couple of wingers that are coming through, which is going to be really exciting. How ready they are for now? Look, we're quickly assessing that through the training ID as we speak now. So. two players. Katie Corrigan's going to push through. Quick player, can finish in the Celtic Challenge. She scores 9 tries in 3 games. To name one, there's others coming through. So there's some firepower there. It's just about getting on the pitch.
That's it, isn't it? That's it. You haven't always had the luxury of being furnished with your sevens players. Got some of those in the squad now. How pleased are you that they are there? What a lift does it give? And how did it come about this time?
So, first of all, having them back in, they're great people. They're great girls. They really add. They really add extra layers to the environment, to the culture, to performance. Which, let's face it, that's what we're doing this for. They bring some pace. They bring some passing game. So it's really important that other teams have done it. You look at New Zealand back in the last World Cup, just as a case in point. If you're playing pool, is relatively smallish. You have to tap in, and we want to be successful in both fronts. You know, the girls are qualified for the Olympics. They want to have a successful Olympics. It's really important to us. Really important. So we'll do all we can to support their journey in that. Us getting to a World Cup is seen as a really big strategic objective within the 15s game. So they're supporting us in achieving that. So we talk about the team of us, the player pool. They all buy into it. Players will move both ways at varying times, but it won't be flippant. It'll be well planned. It'll be periodised. It'll be what's needed at the right dose at the right time. So myself and the head coach at the Sevens are very, very aligned with it. So we've got a pretty good working relationship, and it's exciting to see how both groups can go.
Brilliant. France away. Any tougher challenge to start your Six Nations campaign?
I love it. I think going away to France, and we've done this a few times. There's going to be a full stadium. Everyone's going to have 2 flags and a hooter. There'll be a band somewhere parked close to the coaching box. They may even boo us as we go off the pitch after our warm-up. I think that's a real sign of respect if they do. I think it's brilliant. I think players should get excited about playing in those arenas. It's why we do it. We've got, like I say, a young group. Some of them won't have experienced that. If we're talking about being successful in Six Nations, ultimately trying to be successful in World Cups, you're going to have to get used to playing in those arenas. So actually getting excited by it and performing, that's what it's all about.
Last but certainly not least, over to France. Gael Mignot and David Ortiz, through, sadly, a translator.
With the French coaching staff here at the Women's Six Nations launch. Nice to see familiar faces as we go into a Six Nations campaign. How excited is the group about starting another Women's Six Nations?
Of course, we're very much looking forward to this new competition. We've got a great group of players together. We're looking forward to being together and having a good time together. And on Monday, we're ready to start.
Are there some players that we should be looking out for? Perhaps some players that we do not know so well that have come into the squad and you're excited to see play in a Women's Six Nations?
Oui, on a essayé de développer encore notre effectif et notre.
Yes, of course, we're always working on developing the team, and we've got some new players on board that we've been following. We've been bringing on newcomers from rugby sevens and also from younger teams, putting in new blood to the team.
The first game is in Le Mans, I believe. Do you like travelling around and showing the whole of the country French women's rugby?
It's important for us to travel across the country in France and to visit various parts of the country and meet all our fans. It's important also for us to be playing in different stadiums because in France we love sport and we love rugby. And the French Rugby Union wants us to get about in France.
What constitutes success for France in this Six Nations?
Aujourd'hui, on a une, on va dire une phrase qui nous identifie.
Yes, I would say that one thing we've been keeping in mind is that we have to dare. to move forward. We want to play. We want very much to work play. And so this is something that we're working on. We know that in some of the matches, the going will get tough. And we know that we have to keep on and dare, as I said. And during various phases, we'll have to work particularly hard. We'll have to take on the others. And we'll have to keep up that momentum.
The eye must go to that final game with England. It's a country that you've lived in and played in. It's always circled in the calendar, the England match. But is there a danger that you look too far ahead and not concentrate on the games beforehand?
Aujourd'hui, c'est sûr que on nous parle
indeed, a lot of people have been talking to us about that final match. But we know that we've already been doing really well in other matches, and we know also that the standard keeps on rising. But the first four matches will be, of course, very important for us to get there, but we intend to finish with a flourish.
You've played in many Six Nations as a player, now as a coach. How special is the Six Nations for you?
Le tournoi des Six Nations, c'est un événement...
Players do indeed have great expectations for this tournament. I have indeed been lucky enough to play in the Six Nations, and today is the launch. It's just the beginning of a new tournament, and all the players are looking forward with a great sense of excitement at this launch. And now I find myself on the other side, not a player but a coach, and I'm just as excited about it. We've got six fabulous weeks ahead of us of excitement and special moments.
Well, that's the view from the Coach's Corner. A huge, huge thank you to them all for generously giving us their time. Yeah, apologies for some of the audio through that podcast. It was a reasonably tricky situation. But anyway, really important to speak to all of them. Tomorrow, the captain's view, the captain's log. Manet Falou from France, Hannah Jones from Wales, Elsa Giordano from Italy. Of course, Rachel Malcolm from Scotland, Marley Packer, the England skipper. And we've got up with Sam Monaghan as well, the Ireland co-captain. That's all on tomorrow's Women's Rugby Pod. Join us then.